Well, no matter who you are, if you've lived long enough on this earth, you've experienced disappointment. You've experienced disappointment at some time in your life, maybe many times. Maybe it was a job that you really wanted, but you didn't get. Maybe it was a relationship that you thought was going to work out, but it didn't. Or maybe it's a business that you had started that ended up failing. Maybe it was a grade in a particular class that you wanted to make, but you didn't. And of course, the list obviously could go on and on and on, depending upon your personal experiences. I know I've had many disappointments this year in lots of ways, and it's been a very hard year. Been a very, very difficult year. And so disappointment is something that comes to us in life. One definition of disappointment is given as the feeling of sadness that's caused by one's hopes or expectations not being fulfilled. The wise man in Proverbs 13 said this about disappointment. In Proverbs 13, verse 12, the writer says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life." And how true that statement is. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Since it happens to all of us, we want to make sure that disappointment doesn't turn into discouragement, and then discouragement turn into disillusionment, and then disillusionment turn into depression, and finally depression turn into defeat. That's what we don't want to happen. So this morning we want to turn our attention to those in the Bible who suffered disappointment. And there were many, many of them who during their lives here on earth suffered disappointment of many kinds. And we want to learn from their experiences, and we want to learn from the advice the Bible gives us about how to deal with disappointment. How to deal with disappointment in this life. We want to go to one of Stephen's sermons, we might call it, in Acts chapter 7. And in Acts chapter 7, he talks about one of the Old Testament characters that suffered a great deal of disappointment. And that was Moses. In Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 23, Stephen is recounting the life of Moses, some of the things that happened to Moses. He says, beginning in verse 23, "Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." Did not understand. Notice verse 26. "And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, your brethren, why do you do wrong to one another?' But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?'" Can you put yourself in Moses' shoes? Here Moses thought he was doing just exactly what was right. And he thought sure that his own brethren would understand that he was the one to lead them. But of course they didn't understand, and they actually accused him. They turned on him. And how disappointed Moses must have been in his own brethren for not understanding. Disappointment. We'll look at the next verse that Stephen talks about. "Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons." So now he had to flee his own people and go off into the land of Midian. So not only was Moses disappointed with his own brethren, he was disappointed with his circumstances. Can you put yourself in Moses' shoes? Have you ever been disappointed in your brethren? Have you ever been disappointed in your circumstances? Oh, I sure wish that hadn't happened, or I sure wish I could get out of the situation, or I sure wish my conditions would change. I sure wish my circumstances would somehow change. Moses certainly did. Moses was a real person just like us. He had those same feelings and emotions. He experienced disappointment many times, and those are just a couple of instances. But he suffered disappointment. And Moses had to learn how to deal with disappointment in his life, whether it came from his own brethren, whether it was his circumstances, or whether it was something else. He had to learn how to deal with those disappointments in his life. And of course, when we think about difficulties and stress and disappointments, the person that probably comes to mind more than anybody is that old patriarch Job. And my, did he have disappointing things that happened to him in his life. Let's turn back to the book of Job and read just a few of the things that happened to this Old Testament person. In Job chapter 2, we know some of the things that happened to Job. He lost his family, his sons and daughters. All in one day, they were killed. Can you imagine the disappointment? Can you imagine how he felt losing all of those children in one day? He lost servants. He lost his possessions. What else happened? Satan sent boils on his body, right? He was covered from head to toe with boils. And the person that he expected to be the most understanding, the most compassionate, the most helpful in his times, turned on him. And that was his spouse. In Job chapter 2, let's read verse 9. Now, remember, put yourself in Job's shoes. He's got these boils all over him. He suffered all of these losses already. He's sitting there, verse 8 says, he took a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. He's sitting there scraping at all these terribly painful boils. And then notice verse 9. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." That was supposed to be his helpmate. That was his companion. That was the person he trusted to help him at all times. That was the person he was expecting to be there for him. And what does she do? Oh, Job, just curse God and die. How disappointed he was in his wife. Because notice what he says in the next verse. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept diversity?" And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Job was disappointed with his wife. He was also disappointed in his friends. You know, he had those friends that came with him. Over in Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16. Eliphaz had just finished talking to him. The other friends had talked to him. And they had all basically said, "Job, all of your problems stem from the fact that you're an awful person." That's exactly what they told him. "Job, all of these things are because of all the sin in your life. You're a horrible sinner, Job. And that's why all these things have happened to you." They were comforting him. They were comforting him. "Yes, Job, you're a horrible person." So in Job 16, verse 1, then Job answered and said, that this is after they've made all of these accusations and so forth. He says, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all." Wow. He says, miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of wind have an end, or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's place. Wow. His friends, so-called, he was expecting them to do what? Comfort, sympathize, show compassion, be there for him. And what they did was just the opposite. They said, Job, if you weren't such a horrible sinner, none of those things would have happened to you. How awful. Can you imagine Job's disappointment? Has your spouse ever disappointed you like Job's did? Have your friends ever disappointed you like Job's did? Well, we can understand at least somewhat the emotions, the feelings they were going through. Think about King David. Here's a man that the Bible has given us a lot of information about. David went through all kinds of things. Here's a partial list of some of the things that David had to deal with. One of his sons, Amnon, raped his half-sister Tamar. Can you imagine that? 2 Samuel 13. Can you imagine if you had a son and a stepdaughter, and your son raped your stepdaughter? That's what happened to David. Can you imagine trying to deal with that? In the same chapter, his son Absalom murders his brother Amnon, the one that had raped Tamar. Now he has to deal with a son who's a murderer. Oh, it goes on. One of his closest friends, one of his closest advisors, Ahithophel, betrayed him, turned his back on him, stabbed David in the back. 2 Samuel 15, just a couple of chapters later on. And then, of course, his own son Absalom begins a campaign to do what? Kill David and take over his kingdom. His own son. That begins in 2 Samuel 15 as well. And those are just a few of the things that David had to deal with. Can you imagine his life and the disappointments he was trying to handle, the adversity he was trying to handle? Notice what David says in one of the Psalms that he wrote. Psalms 55. Let's turn there now. Psalms 55. And we'll learn something about David from this psalm. Psalm 55. David begins by saying in that psalm, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily. He's expressing to God at the very beginning, please, please, please hear my prayer, because I am miserable. I'm moaning, I'm groaning in pain and misery. In verse 4 he says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I will wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Have you ever said words like that? Oh, I wish I could just magically fly away from these circumstances. Wish I could get as far away as possible. That's exactly what David is saying. I wish I had wings like a dove. Wish I could just leave this and fly away. He knew he couldn't. But that's what he hoped for and wished. Skipping down to verse 12. For it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who's exalted himself against me, that I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Says this is about someone betraying him. A companion. Someone that had spent time together and they were friends together. wasn't an enemy. It was someone close to him. That was David. And how difficult that was. But it wasn't just people in the Old Testament times that dealt with disappointment. Imagine yourself living in the first century and you're one of Jesus' disciples. And maybe you've been following him, heard a lot of his teachings. And what did many of the disciples believe? That Jesus was going to come and rid them of the Roman oppression that they were under. That was the kind of Messiah they thought Jesus was going to be. He was going to be a military leader who would rid them of this of the Roman oppression of all of what the Romans had done to them, had taken away their freedom. That's what they thought. Even after Jesus was raised from the dead, Luke chapter 24. We'll just read one verse there, verse 21. Luke 24. Verse 21 says this. These are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that Jesus appears to. One of the disciples says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Said, "We thought it was the Messiah. We thought that Jesus was the one who was going to defeat Rome and set Israel free." Can you imagine their disappointment? And then, of course, Jesus himself. Jesus was human. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways just like we are. Jesus, no doubt, was disappointed. One of his close disciples betrayed him into the hands of the enemy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how he felt there during his trial? When the disciples fled, remember him looking over at Peter, and Peter denied him, one of those three disciples that was the closest to him, said, "I don't even know Jesus you're talking about. Who? What do you mean I know him, I'm his friend?" Denied Jesus within earshot. Disappointment. Remember, his own brothers didn't even believe him. Didn't even believe him. His own countrymen, the Jews, did what? Rejected him. Turned their back on him. Disappointment. So we all face disappointments. So the question is, how do we deal with it? In Psalms 118, we are given some insight by the psalmist there about how to deal with disappointment that comes from other people. In Psalms 118, it'd be great to read the whole psalm, but we really don't have time. But notice verses 8 and 9. Psalms 118, verses 8 and 9. The psalmist says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes," those in authority, rulers. What does that tell us? Others are not perfect. Others are not perfect. The only one that we can have utter confidence in is God himself. Put your trust in God. That's what he says. Put your trust in God. He will never, ever disappoint. There is no chance of him ever going back on his promises. He is trustworthy. In Psalms 146, the psalmist writes this in the first four verses. That's also of great help to us. When we experience disappointment, the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord." The Hebrew is hallelujah. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there's no help. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish." So trust in God. He never, ever disappoints. Understand that people in this world will disappoint you. That's what he says. People in this world will disappoint. Why? Well, first of all, they're not perfect. They're not perfect. So they'll disappoint. God knows every disappointment we go through. God knows every difficulty we're dealing with. God knows everything that may cause stress in our lives. He knows every one of them. In Psalms 34, the psalmist, hopefully you're seeing a pattern of some places to go during disappointing times. Yes, the Psalms. Psalms 34, beginning in verse 15. This is considered to be one of David's psalms. So think back to some of those things that David had to undergo and how he dealt with some of his disappointments. In verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. See, he hears us at all times. He knows every last thing we are dealing with. Every difficulty, every disappointment, every trial, every affliction, he knows every single one of them, and all we have to do is go to him. Is go to him with every single one of them. Sometimes we're disappointed with ourselves. You don't have to live very long before you're disappointed with yourself. Wrong decisions, wrong attitudes, wrong words. Jesus knows our disappointments, but the Bible says he's more powerful than anything we can possibly face. In John chapter 16, toward the end of his upper room discourse with his apostles, he says at the end of that chapter in verse 33, these words, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He says, yes, you're going to have disappointments in the world because sin is in the world, evil's in the world. You will have disappointments in the world. There's no doubt about it. You will have disappointments, some much more difficult and trying than others. He says, the only place you can have peace, though, is in me. There is no peace in the world. The only peace is in Christ. And he says, the reason you can be joyful or cheerful is because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He knows. So these disappointing experiences work out for our good, or they can, if we continue to love the Lord. Travis read Romans chapter 8, verse 28 this morning in our class. Let's read it again as we draw this to a close. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Now notice it doesn't say to everybody. All things don't work out for good for everybody. It's a conditional promise. And it's conditioned upon those who love God. We continue to love the Lord. So there's a condition upon that. You know, we can learn a lot about disappointment, how to deal with it, by looking at how people in the Bible dealt with it. Seeing what they did, seeing how they handled it. Did they handle it well or not well? What did they do? And then looking at what our God has left for us. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's promises. Remember that God says he will always hear us, listen to us, be there for us. We can cast all of our burdens upon Him. All of our disappointments. Family, friends, job, world, neighbors, whatever. Wherever those disappointments come from, says we can cast them upon Him. And we just need to keep our eyes focused on the goal, our heavenly home. This morning, we have a tremendous opportunity. We're going to be led in an invitation song. The words are inviting us, encouraging us, that if we need to make a decision, we will do so. Whether it's to put Christ on in baptism and have our sins washed away, whether it's to ask for forgiveness, ask for prayers, whatever the need may be, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.